The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Podcast. I'm your host, Matt B. Davis. It is the first episode of 2019. Welcome to it. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been at this about a year and a half. We started July 2017. Unbelievable. Fast and furious. This is episode number something or other. Quick shout out for my current sponsor, RCR Video. Did not record this podcast at RCR Video. This is back at my house. I think we're in the third phase of the ATL podcast. First phase, maybe the fourth. First phase, always in the back of the Beltline / inside my office is there on the east side Beltline. Phase two, my front porch. And now phase three, RCR Studios. They help companies tell their stories straight from their website. Video engages your company with your customers, promotes your brand and message, elevates customer interest, and tells your story in a noisy market. And while anybody can say or try to do that to you, Randall and his team are awesome, great guys to work with. They keep their word, they're awesome dudes, and they put out great stuff. So, do you need a video made? Are you shooting something? Go talk to those guys, RCR Video. I record over there at their studio. On today's program, Umama Kibria, I believe I'm saying that all correctly. She was introduced to me by my friend Andrew Deitch of the Andrew Deitch Podcast. Do you like long form interviews? Do you like someone who sits down and talks for quite a long time? Andrew talks longer and more than me. You can check him out, AD Podcast. He just recorded here in my house, and his episode will be up shortly. This episode, we interviewed on August the 7th on my front porch. As you know, I had a backlog of catalog for, dare I say, months, and which is why you're getting some of this August stuff now. And I finally slowed down and began interviewing less and less people, which means the quality is better on the amount of guests that I give you, and I finally get to catch up on all this old, great stuff that I have here sitting in the can. Umama is someone that, since I've interviewed her, I see her everywhere. Everywhere that Atlanta is, everywhere that Atlanta Fitness is. She rolls with the Vesta people. She rolls with the November Project people. I'm going to have them on soon. She's just a woman about town and kind of kills it. And I'm not just saying that. She helped me on this podcast, as you will learn. Let's dive in. Way back in the summertime, Umama and I. Oh, here we go. Where did you grow up? That's always where I start.
Where did I grow up? Well, I was born in LA, but I moved here when I was three because we were in two earthquakes there. So my mom's from Bangladesh, and when she moved to California, that was her first experience, and we were in two of them, so she was like, I hate America. Moved back to Bangladesh, and then went to Tuscaloosa, tornado there.
Don't you have, isn't there earthquakes in Bangladesh?
They have more monsoons. Still pretty terrible. But right. Then my mom went back and was basically like, I hate America. There's like, this is so unsafe. And then my dad somehow finds Atlanta when I was 5 years old. And so we've been here ever since.
And what did they do that they wanted to come here?
To America in general?
Yeah.
Well, my dad always knew he wanted to leave Bangladesh. He's adventurous. He just wanted to start his own business, kind of get into accounting. And my mom, it was an arranged marriage, so she just kind of followed along. Oh, dude, my background is, like, insane, especially the way I live my life. But then my mom became a school teacher. She was a teacher in Bangladesh, but got to continue her career here.
So they still do that?
Yes. My dad is a personal banker at Fidelity Bank, and my mom's a school teacher at Woodward.
No, I meant they still do arranged marriages.
Whew, man. So technically, yes. I actually just went to my friend's wedding on Friday, and she just had an arranged marriage. But most Bengali people now are more forward-thinking. They'll allow you to date for like a month and then get married, but it's still culturally not as accepted.
Would you allow yourself to be arranged?
Oh, Hell no.
That's what I thought you were going to say. That's what I thought you were going to say.
My parents know I've always kind of been the rebel in my family, the black sheep, and I made it very, very clear to them I want to be happy. And a lot of these arranged marriages, they end up settling and they become happy, but it never starts that way. So I'm like, I'm just like too independent for this, and I speak up too much, so it just would not work for me.
So are they okay with that?
They've come to become okay with it. First it was, so I'm Bengali and I'm Muslim. So, and based on the way I dress and I live my lifestyle, definitely doesn't align with our cultural values. So at first it was, okay, you have to marry a Bengali Muslim guy. Then they were like, okay, she's never going to get married to that person. So, okay, marry a Muslim guy. And now they're just like, shit, just get married. Can you have kids already?
But yeah. You're a young person.
I'm 26. But in our culture, a lot of my like cousins and stuff all got married when they were like 22, 23.
Right.
Yeah. It's definitely, I'm breaking a lot of boundaries in my culture and kind of leading the way for my cousins to rebel. So it's interesting because to my American friends, they're all just like, oh, yeah, you're just like a normal person moving out of the house and starting a business and all this. And like my culture is just like, who is she? What is she doing? Like, what are they going to say about us? So
do you feel pressure?
You know, I think it's something in my subconscious mind I kind of do. But now I'm just really confident in what I'm doing. And, you know, I want to have kids. It definitely aligns with my values, but not right now.
No, I mean, because listen, I was the same way. I was going to do what I was going to do. Yeah. I moved as far away as I could when I was like 20.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Boston, but I grew up here.
Okay.
And then when I moved back to Boston in 96, I was 24. Mm-hmm. And my parents were like, oh, finish school first, whatever. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, not what I wanted to do. But I know that for some people, that's very hard to break those familial ties.
Yeah. Definitely is. But it was one of those things where I finally started finding this like self-love through fitness where I just became really empowered and confident in who I was. And so I wasn't scared of being abandoned. I mean, I've gotten called everything by everyone in my culture, like, oh, are you turning into a lesbian because you work in you work out? You know, who are you to start a business? You're going to fail. Like, women
are you
supposed
are you
to be
bilingual?
Married. Yes.
Do they yell at you in
both?
Various languages?
Yes, fairly. So, and then I speak Banglish as well, so Bengali English combined, but
that's a thing.
That's a thing. Well, I think I made it a thing, but definitely.
But do you hang out with Indian people, Muslim people in Atlanta?
Somewhat, not really. I mean, I try. Definitely, I have a few close friends that get me and, you know, they support what I do. But most people in my culture, I've just had a hard time connecting with because they are stuck in their parents' mindset of, hey, you got to get married. The girl's role is still like being in the house, have a normal job with benefits. And I'm literally like a 180 from that. So it's hard for me to connect.
So do you have a straight job at all?
I own a marketing agency for health and fitness brands. And so we do digital marketing, social media, and experiential marketing for brands.
But that's your company.
That's my company. Yeah.
Okay. And then fitness stuff is like your side hustle on top of that?
Fitness is just my passion. So this is what's funny. A lot of people mistake my Instagram as, oh, she's an influencer. She makes money off of that. But really, it's just I like talking about my life. Fitness just happens to be what I'm passionate about. But what people don't realize is my background's all in marketing and advertising. So I took everything I learned in school and my professional world and combined my passion with fitness. And now I take my clients' portfolios to the next level because I actually know
You're not allowed to say next level in this interview.
No.
You can't say next level or synergy or I don't know what other.
You got it. No worries.
You can't use the word change agent.
Change agent. I've used that one before.
I've got a I've got a ban on all buzzwords.
Okay, you got it. I'm gonna try to be conscious of that. But I mean, at the end of the day, like what I do is I showcase my passion and the fact that I know how to build an audience, but really that I know how to actually connect with people, and that's what my passion is.
Who did you work for, like, leading up to this, before you started your own thing?
I worked with J. Walter Thompson, so our big accounts were, like, the Marines and Shell, okay. And then before that, I worked at...
JWT, they're big.
Yes, big global agency, and I got to work directly with the CEO, so this is where I was, like, basically, like, learning corporate structure.
Right.
But before that, I was with Peachtree Supplies and SEG Promotions, all, like, event marketing companies, where right. I literally had to build my own business, so... Just kind of cool how it all set up, you know, in those moments you're just like, damn, I don't, wait, can I curse on here? Is that?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Fuck, this sucks. Like, I knew I was never meant to have a boss. And so I was just like, screw this. I'm going to learn what I need to, but I was always building something on the side. That's why none of those jobs ever worked out for me.
Are you a Gary Vee fan?
So Gary Vee and I actually kind of work together.
Oh.
Yeah. It's awesome because I've had some opportunities to work with VaynerMedia with their Clouds and Dirt campaign. They have this big fitness influencer festival coming up in November, too.
And where is it?
In Miami Gardens on November 5th. So it's kind of cool, like, how the fitness marketplace is really just growing. But, like, more it's people are straying away from that influencer model, and now it's just becoming more, like, community related. And that's where my heart is.
Well, you know, the reason I asked, and it's interesting because, you know, obviously a lot of entrepreneurs are, and I like to say I don't worship at the shrine of Gary Vee.
Oh, I don't either.
As many do, but there's the basic tenets that he talks about over and over again that honestly just sort of remind me I'm doing the right thing. I think the biggest one for me is always it's the long game, because mm-hmm. I certainly can get caught up in what my competitors are doing, and I go back and forth between paying attention and not paying attention. So I don't know. Do you know, like, my whole background at all, or no?
Can you tell me a little bit about your story? Hey, but this is exactly why I love this. It's collaboration. Right.
So well, it's interesting how things can connect. So what I do, so this is my side hustle now. My day job is I run a company called Obstacle Racing Media. So we cover the world of obstacle racing, Spartan Race, Tough Mudder.
Badass. We're doing the Spartan Race in October.
At Lake Lanier? Or not Lake Lanier, Conyers?
Conyers, yes.
Awesome. So we'll talk about that as we yes. get we'll talk about that as we
okay,
get closer.
Cool.
But so I started so everybody when I had a staffing company, which we'll get to in a
oh,
minute
Lord.
Too. When I had a staffing company yeah. in 19 or in 2005, when did Crush It come out? Whenever people yeah. told me to read that book, 10 people told me to read it, I never read it. You should read Crush It, you should read Crush It, I never did. So when I finally read Crush It, and it said, like, find a niche, become an expert in it, start chatting in those groups, create content around those groups. I did that without trying. Like, I did that with obstacle racing because it became a passion for me, right? I woke up one day and said, no one's doing a podcast about this. I would like to do a podcast about it. Very quickly, I became the industry expert, air quotes, and it's 6 years later, and it's led to many, many opportunities, including the one that I just told you about with this thing. Okay, so you know, when I check in, quote unquote, with Gary Vee, it's like a nice little boost, like a little video where he says something like inspiring, or just to kind of remind myself, you know, it's the fucking long game. Because, you know, in any given day, I can feel like someone takes a shot at me, or I feel like I missed, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, I have this new competitor in my space who are creating content, but they're garbage, right? What's that?
Screw them, though. I mean, there's no one that can be you.
No, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
A, they're not me, but the thing that's like, they do have, like, expensive equipment I don't have. And
so what? The quality is in you, right? It's your connection. It's your voice, your background. Like, no one can bring that. And I've realized this in this space. Like, everyone can try to start a social media agency. And I've literally had someone that has stolen my business plan and my, like, pitch deck. But at the end of the day, my clients are like, dude, we work with you. Like, right? And, you know, and
up fucking top, man.
But we live in a world where it's open source information is what allows us to gain trust and connections with people. Why would we sacrifice that just because someone's going to try to steal what we do? It's like not
well,
like,
I love
good luck.
But I feel the same. That's another Gary Vee thing when, like, people want to sign DNAs. I'm like, child, please. You know, I met someone the other day and they're like, yeah, I'm opening this restaurant. And I asked them 3 times what the concept was and they wouldn't tell me. And I finally, like, directly asked because they kept not answering the question. It's like, oh, well, I can't talk about it. And I was like, am I going to start a restaurant tomorrow? Like, why would you... Like,
it's funny.
Like, like talk is cheap. Like that yeah. is the thing that, but just hearing that is like, I definitely like, it's a good shot for me to hear that today. So the other thing is, so doing that, all this obstacle stuff, creating content, it's fun. I like it. It's become my thing. But what do I like the most of that is this, is the podcast part. And so I started a new podcast a year ago called The Atlanta Podcast, where I can talk to whoever I want about pretty much whatever I want.
Love that.
Right? And they don't even have to live here.
Okay.
But as long as I'm in front of the person, mm-hmm. it's about, you know what I mean? That's what it's about.
On this awesome porch, by the way, guys, if we could add some visuals, some nice sun, we've got a nice view of the basketball courts.
Right?
This is a nice location, by the way.
This is the beautiful West End, which has been a frequent topic of the Atlanta podcast.
But location is everything, and just all the changes we're making here.
Because, you know,
Atlanta.
We have a Beltline too now. So it's right over there.
Oh, my God. So wait, how far is the new brewery from here?
Right there. You could throw a rock.
Dude, Monday night is beautiful. We did a big yoga event out there, packed it out. It's so awesome.
So yeah, I think that's how I found out about you. I don't know how I started seeing your stuff, but that's why I thought you were some fitness gal. But you did put together, that's what I want to talk to you about. You did put together an event.
Yes. So events are definitely where my heart is, because just like podcasting, getting in front of people's faces, that's how I wanted to connect with people. My big philosophy is cool, make connections online, but at the end of the day, like, I want to meet you guys in real life. And so I started an event series called Sweat with ATL 3 years ago. And literally, selfishly, it was created for me to make new friends.
Right.
And that's how it all starts for us, right? We got to solve our own
scratch
problems.
The itch.
Exactly. And then I realized, oh, shit, I'm solving a human epidemic here. People want to connect. And fitness, when people start their fitness journeys, a lot of their friends and family don't tend to agree with them or support them. So I wanted to create a safe space for everyone to just like connect through sweat, but then like go out and have a drink or go out and brunch. And after 2 years of doing this, I was like, wait a second, all these brands want to come in and sponsor the events. All these gyms and studios need exposure. And this is when my marketing brain.
So this is free.
It was free for the past 2.5 years. I just started charging like last spring, and we've grown exponentially. We sell out of 100 tickets in like 5 minutes easily.
And what do they cost?
Like 10-20 bucks, depending on the event.
And what do I get for that?
So you get to experience first a big 1 hour workout. You get partner workouts, a whole swag bag, as well as a social mixer afterwards, and then photo booth and all the fun like social stuff.
Right,
that comes.
But that's definitely like the thing. Like you just described, yeah. Like the thing, right?
And I didn't even realize it was the thing. I just did it because that's what I wanted.
Right. I think that's what, like, I think like meetups were like, mm-hmm. are mostly about, right?
Yep.
Like, well, how can I just randomly pick this thing that other people might like and see kind of how it goes?
Yep.
But dare I say next level is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Where you do that. And there are people who have done that like really successfully. Have you heard of these guys? The November Project, you heard of them?
Christian, so I gym hop across the U.S., and so they were one of my gym adventures or fitness adventures for a week.
And so, were you just blogging, like that kind of stuff, or video content about?
Yeah, it was just like my personal hobby, and then every week I featured a new gym and studio. So now I've been to over 377, yeah.
Does that mean there's 377 pieces of content around this?
Yep.
Oh my goodness, no wonder everybody wants you, that's amazing.
Thank you. But here's the thing, like everyone can create a meetup, everyone can go gym hop, create an agency. But at the end of the day, it's my heart that goes behind it. And this is what I love. Like, I don't go in for just a workout. I go in and I'm like, whoa, like I'm testing my strength in a different way. I'm meeting cool people that have the same mindset. I want to meet the owner that came up with the brand and why.
And are you? And what are the pieces of content? Are they blog? Are they video? Are they both?
Video. That's
always video.
Well, there's been pictures here and there, but I am not a picture person.
What do you shoot with?
Really, my phone on the go, and then I've got my Canon SL2 in my bag. And before that, I had a Canon G7X.
What's a phone on the go?
My phone on the go.
But why don't you just call it, you mean like, is it on the?
On the, like, oh, because I have my like tripod
oh,
and everything
okay.
set up
now,
with
you see,
it.
Now do you see this amazing?
Oh, yes. I'm a big proponent
now,
for
now here's the
tripod.
Thing. I was podcasting 3 years before I had this, mm-hmm. and this is what I always remind people, I had a shitty, it's not shitty, I call it, even though it was Best Buy, I call it Radio Shack, wow. handheld this, okay?
Yes.
And I podcasted like that for 3 years, and it worked fine. I got one of these like a few months ago, like it just
welcome
right
to the
but
new
but
world.
It's but it's like that's and that's what I try to remind people is that again I'm not saying wait to the last possible second to buy stuff. I'm just saying that like just as kind of a knucklehead, I go maybe I should spend $20 on this. I think this actually costs 15.
I was gonna say mine costs 15, looks just like that,
right?
But it's the best investment. It's, you don't have to depend on anyone else,
right?
And you get it,
but like
convenient.
I would be like this, I'd be like hang on, let me
I'm still all about the water bottle trick. I do it in the gym all the time,
right?
But that's the thing, people overcomplicate this process. It's whoever has the expensive technology and all that, what I end up seeing is they invest so much in that, but they never master the actual skill of like talking to people, getting on camera. And
I'm continually fascinated with, honestly, just, I hate to be so negative, but honestly with how much garbage is out there. Cause I'll try to listen to other things and I'm like a few minutes in and I'm like, yep, this person's, their voice is annoying. I don't like their style.
Yeah.
Like it's very common, like, so this is obviously one form of podcast, but another is the two or three people sitting around talking about something and they're not interesting. They laugh at their own jokes too much. I just can't deal. And so I know what I'm doing is good.
Yes.
And, I just want to keep doing it. Now I built the obstacle thing from the ground up with zero, like no business plan, no, you know, loan, nothing.
Just passion.
Straight up passion and content, right? However, and I'm at where I'm at, here we are 6 years in, and I'm doing okay, right? It pays the bills, right? I'd like a little bit more room, right, to just pay the bills. And I want to speed that up for this, for the Atlanta podcast. Yeah. Like, yes, I know you got to build it one listener at a time, but I would like to, like, what advice would you have for me as someone who knows he's got a skill, knows he's got something, mm-hmm. and wants to like accelerate is the right word.
I love this because you hit the biggest point that most people can't figure out, passion. If you have that, you've got the worth ethic, then all you need is the C method. So I call this the SASC method, the CCE method, because it's something I've used to actually build up my own platform as well as I teach other entrepreneurs and do for my clients.
Right.
It's content, right. collaboration, and engagement. This is an algorithm-proof method that you can apply to any social media channels. Number one, create value-based content.
Right.
This is where people go wrong. I don't give a shit to see your food every single day unless you're going to tell me, hey, like I'm dairy-free. Let's say I'm your ideal client. I need you to tell me why it's dairy-free, how it tastes, or if it tastes bad, I need to know that too, right? So speak directly into your client. Then collaboration being one of the biggest growth hacking tips. This right here, because I'm naturally going to share this with all of my audience, right?
Right.
And then being able to bring in strategic people that have the audience that you want as well. In collaboration, not only do you personally grow, but you're helping the other person grow and gaining trust with your audience because they're seeing that you're not just a single dimension person. You're multidimensional as well as a practitioner of your work.
All right. So here's something that I would directly ask you about because I know, again, like Gary Vee says, like I've done someone's show that has 20 listeners. I don't care. I'm just going to do it and be done with it. I have people approach me a lot now because...
Hell yeah.
Right.
You should.
In the short time that I've been going, I know how to show up and search well. So I've got that going. So people find me. They go, hey, here's this project I'm working on. Can I be in your show? Mm-hmm. And I don't like...
Good. You should be selective because
I am saying, but then part of me thinks like, oh, but collaboration and maybe down the line they
can
return the
favor. Collaboration that makes sense. If the way I see is if you don't feel hell yes about it,
then just
drop it. And it's
like,
okay.
Right.
But I'm a good human. I'm just like, hey, I don't think I'm the best fit for this, but check out one of my friends.
Is that what you do when you don't want to?
All the time. So I get brand collaboration opportunities, but
they be sliding that DM.
Oh, 100%. But I'm every day, but I'm the first person. If my first initial reaction isn't hell yes, then I just don't have time for that.
Well, and that's the thing too, in that the one it the the hell yeses actually came from what's his name that Tim Ferriss interviewed years ago. Mm-hmm. And he says it's either fuck yeah or no.
Yeah.
And if you feel like maybe I don't want to do this, and I've learned to do that, I've set up interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the day gets closer and I look at that name and that name doesn't like sing with me, I go, and then I have to say no. But again, sometimes I still feel like, you know, again, I feel like there was someone here not that long ago and they had an event coming up and then they were like, oh, can you get this up before my event? And I'm just like, no, like, because the interview wasn't that great either. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to give them the chance to,
content,
to boost it. Right. And like, that's like, the thing is like,
if it's not value based for you and you know, you're not going to end up delivering value on their end, then you're not doing anyone's any.
Well,
justice,
I mean,
right?
it would be X amount of it would be.
Sure. But at the end of the day, like, you've got to feel good about the product that you're putting out there, because
right.
if anything, that diminishes your own brand and value.
Right.
Like, but that's why the next component E is so important, engagement. That period right after you post content or that you have this collaboration opportunity, you've got to be excited about who you're putting in front of, talking to them and actually driving a community, because that's how you grow. Like, engagement marketing is my number one tool.
Right.
And engagement, whether it's through events, through podcasting, like sitting down for interviews, or it's engaging online. That
right.
is the number
but
one
here's,
thing.
So here's what's really hard is, again, like, it's really, I say this all the time. So I've got 300 plus episodes of the podcast,
yeah.
right? And so for my high perch of 300 episodes, when someone asks me, how do you get a following? I can sit back in my high chair and go, well, it's just crank them out every week and don't get too hung up. It doesn't have to be perfect and go, blah, 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 right? Now, this show, the Atlanta podcast, is really small,
mm-hmm.
and the audience is just starting, and so I like don't take my own advice. I really sweat it. I get perfectionist about it,
yep.
And then it's like I guess lazy would be the word, because if I hop on Instagram, like, we could do it now real time, but I'm not going to bother. And I like asked a question, right? You know, Instagram lets you do those awesome things where you
yes.
ask questions, right? Or ask me anything,
it.
Or right? Boom, 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 comment, out the door. If I do it on the ATL podcast, right? It's like crickets, because the numbers aren't high enough.
But who are you talking to through that platform?
Well, the audience, I guess.
But are you actually engaging with them and driving them to your question?
Meaning what?
Like, are you commenting on their profiles?
Well,
are you taking interest in them?
Well, that's the thing, is that it's... I do, like, I almost everybody that follows me, I might have done this with you. Hey, how did you come to find the show?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And sometimes they respond. Sometimes they just go, oh, so-and-so told me about it. Sometimes, you know, someone said, I don't know, how does anyone find anything these days? Like, they just,
just right? randomly.
And I'm just like, hey, thanks for following. Like that, like, I do that.
Mm-hmm. So here's what we basically have created, a system for this, where whenever you come up with good content or put a question out there, you've got to be able to actually talk to the person that wants to answer that question. So whether it's finding them through hashtags, going on people's pages that have a similar audience that you're looking for. Let's say for the Atlanta podcast. Okay, cool. You could go on ATL Bucket List with Alicia, and you know she has a ton of Atlanta hyper-local influencers and people that are already commenting, responding to her. Go drive that audience back to your page if you have something that's relevant to food, right?
Right.
Like, go out and actively pursue. When you are creating that minimal viable audience, your MVA, so your first like 2,000 people, it is so important to actually go out and talk. And sometimes you're going to feel like you're talking into like nothingness,
right.
And I get that, but that's the beauty of like the first initial step in all this. You're creating that content and security with yourself that, hey, I'm putting really great stuff out there that serves me, and I hope it serves other people. But if you're not excited about it, then you're not going to want to drive people to it. That's why I say you've got to be passionate before you get into any of this.
Right.
Or else those numbers and everything will get to you.
Right. Yeah, no, this is great. This is really good for me to hear, because again, like, I can make a plea like, hey, you know, drop me a note about X, right? And people will about like, and then, but the thing to remember is that not everybody is like us. Many people just, you know, I guess the term is like lurk.
Yes.
I've run into people.
So
I've run into people that
especially fitness content.
Well, I've run into people I haven't seen in a year or two, and they're like, oh my God, I see what you're up to, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how?
I've never
like,
seen you engage.
And they're like, well, I follow you.
And in my mind, it's like, I've never interacted with them because they never like, they never comment, they never share. And that's fine. They don't have to. Mm-hmm. But I forget that that's most people.
Yep.
Like, I've always been the type, like, dude, even before this, like, ask my wife. I'll watch a documentary and then email the writer of the documentary. Like, that's just really? Been my style. I've just always done that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is amazing.
We need more Matts in the world, guys. Like, everybody.
Right?
Yes.
So, again, it's just a reminder, because with the other one, it comes so naturally, and I'm constantly getting, like, I probably don't get as many DMs as you say per day, but I get a fair amount, mm-hmm. right? And then there's people that just, you know, they want to know what's going on, or they just...
So here's what I want to ask you.
Sure.
Are you showing up for the people right now that are currently showing up for you? Like, are you engaging and talking to the people that are currently viewing your stories?
Do you mean, like, am I responding to them?
No, just reaching out to them. Let's say you have 20 views on your story.
Right.
Are you making those 20 people feel like they are your absolute best friends?
I need to do that. I'm not doing that.
And that's the thing about when you are starting to create those first followers, those first people that say yes to you, they are going to be totally invested. So make them your fans. Let them be the one to go out and say, hey, have you checked out Matt's podcast? He's so awesome. He answers all my questions. Then other people will naturally start talking.
Well, and it's kind of weird, because actually for the Atlanta podcast, it's like I still know all the people. Just like for ORM, I used to know all those people. And then it gets to a point where it's friends of friends of friends.
Yes.
Now with this, I kind of feel like it's Dario. It's my friend Dario. Like, I don't need to engage with him. I talk to him anyway.
Yeah. Well, cool. Dario, hey, come on the show. Share a question with me that I can ask on the show. Like, empower your audience to feel like they're invested in this project too. Because as soon as people are invested, you're answering their questions, getting the content out that they want, then they're like, oh shit, Matt's talking into me. This is like my business. Let me share this with people. And that's another part of this collaboration tool a lot of people aren't utilizing.
You know what else happens a lot? I think you'll find this interesting. You probably get this too. Maybe, I don't know, I'll ask you. On the obstacle thing, right? So I'm on this podcast. I've been on it for however many years. And people will meet me at a race and they'll post, hey, I met Matt. Turns out he actually is nice in person. And I'm always like, why are you surprised that I would be different, right? Because like, this is how I engage, right?
Yeah.
So, do you get that? Do people go, oh my God, she was just as great in person. I was so pleasantly surprised.
You know, especially in the fitness industry, I get it a lot. And this is actually why I started speaking up more in fitness, because I went to all these bodybuilding expos and all these people I was watching on YouTube, and I would meet them in person. I was like, holy shit, you were so dry. Like, first of all, you don't look like that. You know, I was just like, oh God, so let down. And when I started creating this event series, and everything I post on my page, you'll see I'm just like super vulnerable, and I showcase every aspect of my life so that when someone meets me in person, it's just like another encounter. And they're like, oh wow, like, I feel like I already know you. I feel like we're already friends, and it's so cool that you're actually a normal person. And that's what I like. So a movement I want to create is recreating what an influencer actually is. Because an influencer isn't just someone with a bunch of followers that neglects people. It's someone that's actually a real person.
Well, here's, listen, trust. Again, get a little feedback from you. By the way, I'm already getting more out of this interview than I should, maybe. I don't know. I feel selfish.
Hey, we're sharing it with the world.
Right. Right. So yeah, no, please. Absolutely. I just, again, like the reason my show works is because I don't make it about me. I make it about the guest, and people who only make it about themselves, it's like, whatever. My daughter wanted to go to this YouTube influencer show. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm happy to take her, right? Happy to take her and her friend. Like, first of all, it's still weird. Like, you know, like, I used, like, it's weird for me to be the dad at an event like that, right? You go, I'm not that old.
No, you're not old. Right, but 25.
Right, exactly.
Right, something like that.
But then I thought, you know, maybe I can learn something.
Yes.
Right? These people have millions of followers. So the only thing I took away from it was like, okay, I see how they've like turned that into some merch, and that's like a cool way to make some side money. But they were so phony. Like, it kind of bothered me, mm-hmm. because I didn't feel like I could take anything away from it. But I thought, but they're doing something right that
9 to 13 year olds think they're great. Do you know what I'm saying?
So
the super phoniness got to me.
And that's funny because that's exactly what really started all this for me. Because I wanted to help everyday people realize that that's not the only opportunity there is with social media. You don't have to create an online store. You don't have to just be an influencer. You can use the power of influence to actually pursue your purpose and your passion. So I went to a lot of those conferences too. And it's
this wasn't a conference. It was like a concert.
A concert. Oh, Lord. Even worse. But it's funny because everyone wants to just talk about themselves.
They cooked slime and shit.
You went to that girl?
Yes.
Oh, she's really smart, though.
No, it was three girls. It was Wenji, Karina Garcia.
Yeah, and Karina Garcia. That's
it. She was the realest. Of the three women, she was the realest.
Because she knew how to build a brand. She's
but
smart.
But the three of them, and one was like the weird Asian girl. She's Wenji, Karina Garcia, and I forgot the other one's name.
But here's the thing with them. All they're really good at is being consistent. And that is the social media playground right now. It's kids especially just want to see you show up every day.
Even if it's like, I didn't think the passion was real. I thought it was fake and forced.
Well, hey, they're serving an audience, right? Like,
I guess. That
they're serving a niche. And everyone has a niche. But at the end of the day, what I say is, think about what you want your end game to be. Reverse engineer it. Use the power of social media and influence to do exactly what you want. The right people will show up, but you've got to talk to them. And then when you actually meet them in person, not only are they going to buy your merch, they're going to be long-term investors in what you do. So they're going to be your advocates. They're going to be the ones that help you take that Atlanta podcast to the next level and create momentous growth and make it, okay, cool, we're going to do it in every city.
All right, I have another question for you. This
Go
is great.
For it.
This is great.
I love this.
So this is what I've learned I'm good at. So I've had multiple businesses. Mm-hmm. I volunteered a lot. And if you were to say,
Condense,
Matt, what is it that you're good at? And the word I would use is enrollment, okay?
Okay.
So I'm a good salesman, right? I got to sell my, for the obstacle thing, I've got to cold call or people call me, get business.
Right.
And I've always done that. My previous business, I had a staffing company.
Everyone has to do new biz dev.
Right. But I'm saying I'm good at that.
Okay, cool.
Like the guy who's an amazing contractor, but is ugh, I hate sales, right?
Yeah.
So that's not me. So I'm great at saying, so the word is enrollment, right? Mm-hmm. So either come buy my product or, hey, come listen to this. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Or come on and do this thing with me. It's going to be fun. Like I'm definitely, that comes from me and me at my best, right? If I come from to use cheesy words, whatever, passion and love, right? Okay. And fun, those three words, that's me. If people go, what's Matt like? Those three things, right? Awesome. And I know that to be true. Like again, a Gary Vee thing, self-awareness. Absolutely. What am I not good at? Patience. I could use some tips with compassion sometimes. I can be a little too short-sighted. I could use that good partner that says, wait, let's look at some details. Mm-hmm. And I'm fire, let's ready, roll. Aim or whatever. Right? Okay. So saying all that, a couple years ago, I did this Friday breakfast thing. I was like, hey, let's just get a bunch of guys together who are all business owners and get together for breakfast and see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. So there was nothing official about it. We just got together and it was someone might talk about, I'm having an issue with accounting. It's like, mm-hmm. I have this great person. They help me with my QuickBooks. Or I have this employee issue. Have you read this book? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like not the bullshit handing out cards networking, but real networking.
Connecting.
Right. Correct. Okay, so here it is. 5 years later, I started doing that again. I sent out an email, and I called it Badass Entrepreneur Dudes, right?
Yes.
Almost as a joke.
Okay.
And six people showed up, right?
That's awesome.
And now, the last time, nine people showed up. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're showing up for me mm-hmm. because they – and these are people from all people I've interviewed, old friends, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm saying all this to say that, it did occur to me, what if you charge for that? Because the network is so valuable. But then I thought it kind of made me feel icky because if these are my friends and people they trust me because there isn't any cost. Mm-hmm. So.
Perfect. So this is definitely a dilemma I had.
The question
is,
thing.
Yeah, well, the dilemma is what value are you adding, right? Do you believe that not only are we getting together, but two, I'm actually connecting you and making sure you walk away with an actual opportunity that will make you money and you get an ROI in. And number three, like, what are these people's values? Like, do they value friendship and connection and growth? Then hell yeah. Most people are naturally inclined to invest in opportunities that move them forward. If this is something like that, this is why so many people join sororities and fraternities, because they just want to feel like they belong. And by investing in something, that holds them accountable. So that's why all these type of networking groups, monthly membership groups, and fitness clubs, they all work, because people want to invest. And But you have to know that there's value.
I know there's value. Yeah,
but you also have to propose it where, hey, I'm going to make sure you leave with this, this, and this. And that's when people are just like, oh, no brainer. Hell yeah, I'm going to invest.
I think, and I don't know, and I could ask or we could find out, it isn't about the connections, although that could happen. It's more about the soul filling ROI.
Of course.
And there's, you know, again, this is not new, like men's groups, women's groups have been going on forever,
yeah.
But hey, this is my peer group. This is a place, like, we just ask a simple question, right? At the beginning of the thing. And I know there's value, not just in your own thing, but mostly when other people, right? So I have some weird hang up where I think, like, it's bad that I would get money from that.
And that mindset shift takes a lot of work, but it takes self-awareness and trying to figure out what is it that bothers you really about the money, right? Like, what bothers you? I'm going to put you on the spot.
This is great. What does bother me? That I shouldn't, air quotes, I shouldn't take money from my friends. That's the first thing that jumps out.
So what do you usually associate that with?
We're going hardcore here, bro.
Yeah, we are.
What do I associate what with?
With taking money from friends.
It's not good because... This is really good. No, this is really good questions. Because friendships are based on mutual trust. And it's... Like, if I go out with my friend Clayton and I buy him a coffee, I'm never expecting to get $5 back from him.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to buy him a fucking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do the same for me.
Right. And that's a mutual exchange,
right? Right.
Because you just expect him to be a good friend.
Right.
It's not the expectation that you're going to actually give the money back, but you're fulfilling that third basic human essential need, which is belonging, love, and friendship, right? A lot of people have to invest in order to feel that someone actually trusts them. And with friendships, I get it, because I've created these, like, trust-based connections with a lot of people, but I thought money was associated with greed, and greed was associated with evil and all this. But it's really diving in to figure out, like, why does that evil have to be associated with you? Do you believe you're a good person? Let's reframe this.
Yes.
Do you believe that you are going to deliver value?
Yes.
Do you believe that you can make your friends better people?
Yes.
Then hell yes, you can charge. Sorry, that was so long-winded.
No, but, like, it's not.
It's just understanding that psychology of it, because I get it. Flipping, especially, like, I went 2.5 years hosting free events. That was so hard to say, hey, guys, I'm going to charge $10.
Right.
And
that's how I feel.
Well, guess what? You don't ask for permission. The people that are going to show up value your product. If they don't show up, fuck you. You didn't probably really care about showing up anyways.
But that was the other thing that came up, was that the, like, we did it and guys would come halfway through or whatever. And then
there's no respect for it.
Well, that's the thing, is that or they'd order the food when they got there, so they didn't sit down for 10 minutes. So I was afraid to lay it out there, but I did. I said, listen, here's the deal. This thing starts at 9. If you want to eat and have coffee, you need to show up beforehand, because this train's moving fast. We have an hour, and it can't be like, let's sit around and grab ass.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see next week if they show up on time or not, right? Yeah. But I was so afraid to say that I got really small about, like, oh, they're going to be mad at me, or...
It's okay. But I say, like, get your first followers invested in this with you. So, hey, guys, like, I'm thinking about offering all this value. I want to do, like, this roundtable discussion. I want to bring in this speaker, and I want to get these gift bags or whatever from these sponsors.
I don't even want a gift bag. I, like...
Screw it. Fine. Don't do it.
Maybe that'll come down the line.
Get them involved in that process of creating the model, so that they're just like, oh, yeah... Like, they're building it with you, as opposed to just laying it on them. It's a, and get surveys. It's feedback.
So
for what they actually want to invest in.
So it's interesting what's coming up for me. This is all really good that, like, even asking that, I can feel myself getting comfortable. Like if I said to them, hey guys, I want to make this thing bigger and like be able to bring more guys to it. And what if we charged a nominal fee and I started getting speakers and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, they'd probably be like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Like, exactly. I think as entrepreneurs, we just like get scared with that first initial jump, but we have to remember the value of what we're bringing, but we have to face our own fears. These are stories we're just telling ourselves that people aren't going to show up if I charge $10, right? Like, so give your all to the people that do show up. Even if it is five people, you make those five people feel like they are at the most phenomenal experience. It is literally out of this world, the 11-star experience. This is actually from Masters of Scale with Reid Hoffman. I listened to with how Uber create or Lyft, not Lyft, dear God, Airbnb, the 11-star experience. So what would be the absolutely, like the absolute top of the world, out of this world experience for you? And then how do I reverse engineer it to make it something actual that I can actually apply and make like come to fruition, and then put that product out there so that the people that said that this was their 11-star experience, you're bringing them as close to it as possible so they're invested in the project or the outcome.
That's really good.
And that's, so the event that you saw, I put on the FitX Games.
That's what I wanted to ask about.
Yeah, so that was my way. Like I said, I gym hopped to over 377 gyms. I went to a bunch of bodybuilding expos, powerlifting expos, the CrossFit Games, and all these communities. And I was like, I just like don't feel like I belong in any of these, but I love fitness. There's got to be more normal people like me that just like training, but don't want to like necessarily compete. So I was like, okay, what if there was like this like fitness field day where we like just test out different types of strength? The yogis could get involved, boxing guys, the power lifters, the everyday ex-athletes. And the field day came together, but it was the power of collaboration with Atlanta Sport and Social Club that already had the infrastructure to host a field day.
Don't they do their own field day?
They do. So I created a partnership with Marvin. He's in charge of all their games there and marketing. And we really just brainstormed all this. But then Kevin Cragen, who is the president of Atlanta Sport and Social, you should totally interview him, by the way. He's so awesome.
We had coffee a couple years ago, but he's totally on the list to get for the show.
I'll connect you.
Thank you. That's what I do.
But we all just like brainstormed this, and we're just like, we're going to recreate the system and add in a whole new division for athletes to just get involved. The everyday athlete, like you and I, that just work out and just want to have fun, meet people, work out, and then like drink and like meet other people.
So do they still have a standalone field day, or you just became part of it?
No. So they have a standalone field day. We just hosted our FitX Games before their field day. So we had the same field, but we did a 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. because fitness-minded people are more morning, kind of go, get it done. And then the drinking crowd showed up after 12.
Got it.
The social.
And so what was your goal for participants' numbers?
Really, I just wanted like 100 athletes.
Okay.
I try not to ever put a number on it, but I definitely wanted it to be people to talk
about
it.
But again, you're a marketer. You know that clients want results and numbers.
Well, we had over 1,500 guests there. So spectators and people that were actually participating across the entire day. So all our sponsors were happy. We sold out of sponsorships within like 2 weeks.
And what was like, and what were the highest tier like sponsorships?
What do you mean?
What were you selling them for?
So like Gusto was our title sponsor.
Right.
And so
I bet your buddy's with Nate.
I love Nate. Nate's just awesome. Such an amazing guy.
Just interviewed Nate.
Oh, you
we
did?
We haven't published it yet.
Well, then this is going to be perfect. But, you know, Nate and the whole Gusto team came in great timing because they are now expanding their model, getting more into the fitness audience. You know, they've always kind of just been like the healthy or not healthy, better for you food, but fitness was an easy transition. So right. This was a great opportunity for them to be on shirts, all of our marketing material, all the video content, have games named after them, and then their teams were actually participating. A big part of how I do my marketing is I don't want just the brands to come out, put a table. I want them interactive. I want people to understand the brand. So we had a whole game devoted to building your own bowl. So you had to like, it was like a race to put your bowl together with the rice, the beans, the chicken. It was awesome. And that's what experiential marketing is. And all of the clients and all the sponsors that were there, we made sure it's very experiential.
Yeah. So I'm having a bit of a, what do you call it? What's a better word than aha moment? Because I like to not use trite.
Epiphany.
Maybe an epiphany. Okay. And again, these are things that I know and just need to be reminded of.
It's just like watching Gary Vee. It just reminds you of things you already have knowledge of, but it just brings
because all
out.
The things that you are like really, really good at, I know I'm really, really good at.
Yeah, you are.
And I am under-earning. Are you familiar with that term?
Under what?
Under-earning.
No, tell me.
Under-earner is someone who has a lot of potential, mm-hmm. but like, why isn't that guy more successful? He's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, can't get out of their own way, old shit they haven't worked through. And I've worked through a lot, right? Mm-hmm. At age 46, I've worked through a lot.
Not 46.
I know, right?
Guys, look at this guy. He looks like 38. I would say at least 38, 39.
Right, and that's only because I've got a few grays now. But anyhow, I don't smoke, I don't drink. That's a big, those are big helpers.
You're an under earner, but it just takes doing the work.
I've built businesses from nothing, and I've done what a lot of people, like a lot of people want what I have. Mm-hmm. They want a wife and three kids, and they think I have a great life. And the financial piece is always like I've hit ceilings that I need to break through. Because again, mm-hmm. I don't want to buy fucking yachts. I just want to, you know, live comfortably, go on some nice trips, get them whatever they want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And what you have to first evaluate are, what are your values? What do you actually want, right? Like, you value relationships. You value being able to explore, right? And being creative. If those are things you know you want, then stop telling yourself stories about shit you can't actually have. I'm not going to be as brave. Sorry if that was... Sorry, I get really into this.
No, I want to ask you, did all this knowledge come from books, seminars, all the above?
No, it's from doing the work, like going through the shit. And of course, like I listen to podcasts, I listen to books like Gary Vee and like Lewis Howes, all of them. I listen to an extent, but honestly, all that content is overwhelming. And I tell people this all the time. You should definitely absorb it. Take what you need, leave what you don't. But what happens is overwhelm. When you hear about all the things you need to do, you stop being creative and under-earning, right? Like knowing your own creative potential and doing the work. So that's why fitness and nutrition is such a great thing to involve in your life, because those are the two things you can control. And when you do those things, you're actually on this like fitness journey that helps you get to an end result, or you continue growing. It's the same principles that you apply to life and business, but you don't get to that without doing your own shit. You can get motivation and inspiration from outside factors, but the real motivation comes from seeing yourself do it and being inspired by how much impact you're making. And then human nature kicks in where you're addicted to growth. And then the next level comes in. Then you stop under-earning yourself because you're just like, damn, I'm a fucking badass. I'm doing all this shit. Like, I've met all the people that have inspired me. And then I meet them and I'm like, I think I'm kind of better than, not better than you, but I can do what you do.
No, I've.
But better.
No. I watched Tim Ferriss interview somebody on TV and I was like, I can do a better interview than that. And I liked him.
But guess what? He's doing it.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And absolutely. But it gets me to go, okay, like I know what I'm capable of. I don't think I could interview somebody as well as like Bob Costas or Oprah.
Why not?
Right. No, I'm saying that like they're the best at it, and I aspire to that. But like, yeah. I know I'm as good. I know I can ask as good questions as fucking Tim Ferriss, right? Mm-hmm. But he parlayed a super successful book into all this other stuff, mm-hmm. and like I can't even listen to his show anymore because I'm just like, just his questions kind of bore me. I gotta be honest.
But that's when you know you stop under-earning yourself, right? Because you're just like, I can do this. But what I want to help people understand is this is exactly why fitness should be involved in everyone's life in some way, because it is the one tool that helps you realize that you are in complete control of getting shit done. But the principles behind it, from like getting stronger or having to stay disciplined with your nutrition, those are things that keep you in line. Like your social media or setting up interviews, you just act knee-jerk reaction. Hey, I want to interview you. I'm going to send them a DM. This is why I do the video strategy. And I freaking hate texting people. So I'm just like, I'm going to solve my own problem. I'm going to go after the leads that I want. I'm going to close on business deals, but I'm going to do it my way. Because I know that's what my key differentiator is. And if I'm going to put my name out there and be bigger than these people, I've got to do it.
I'm going to give you major props because you've totally inspired me and I'm going to commit to doing it.
Yes.
I reached out to her. She goes, hey, like video response through IG. We've never met before. Hey, Matt, here's this real person talking to me. Mm-hmm. I would love to be a part of your show. Let me know what I need to do. And I was like, nobody fucking does that. I'm going to start doing that, right?
Awesome.
So,
and that's what I help teach people. It's like in the social media landscape right now.
Do you wait for them to reach out? If it's somebody you want to close, do you?
No, I reach out to people. I try to send 10 DMs a day.
But when you send that first DM, are you videoing? Or are you just? Yeah. Are you just?
Yeah, I video it.
So even if it's straight up cold.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't know me. I'd love to blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. Because why are we
okay, I'm gonna tell you. I'm going to tell you the bullshit in my head, and just give me the answer. You're a girl.
Okay. Well, what's your personality?
What's my personality?
What's your personality like?
I'm fucking rock star, dude. People like talking to me.
Okay. If they like talking to you, then you can get on camera and do the same shit. It's not creepy if you don't come off creepy. Like, here's the thing. It's always about value. This is why I promote the C method. Number one, what value are you adding with your content, with whatever exchange you're going to do? What collaboration opportunity? What is it going to do for them? Engage. Tell them that you actually give a shit about them and you know about what their product or their service is. Everyone is selfish, right? So for you, I know that like my network is going to help you because I have a huge Atlanta audience. But I also know this is going to help me because now I'm trying to get more into the marketing space and try to just not be known just as a fitness entrepreneur. And so this is a collaboration opportunity, but I needed you to know first to trust me. Trust is gained first by facial recognition, right? Like knowing that I'm a good, nice person. I'm going to have fun with you. And a copy paste DM, like people would just think like, what's so special about this?
I do know how to send a DM that doesn't look copy, but like I'm at least a step above that.
And I got it from when you said Missy, like, okay, I was like, okay, cool. This is where he came from.
Right. Right.
He knows me.
Right. So that's where it came from.
Yes.
Missy killing it in IG. Missy, if you're listening, killing it in IG.
And killing it in just general.
Right.
Like, she is one of those badass women that my marketing agency was made for because I'm just like, you know what? More people need to know her. I need to scale her business so that we take her global because what she's doing is phenomenal.
So did you get her like Lululemon and stuff?
No, she did all that. I just met Missy the other day.
Oh, okay.
But so many people have been like, you two have to meet.
So do you put together any sort of, other than the fitness stuff, do you put together any sort of like, hey, these are just my cool entrepreneur friends that should all know each other thing?
Yeah. I host ATL Athletes, which is a networking event where I'm just like, hey, we did a Christmas party because in the fitness industry, there aren't any. All right. Gotta bring it together.
All right.
I do. But it's because I try to solve my own problems, and the people that show up, I give them 100% of me and make sure they get exactly what they want from that experience. And that's why I keep telling you, like, start your model. You have no idea who's going to show up, but you've got to put engagement behind it. So you have to actively go out and find those people. When I started all these events, it was me reaching out to people personally, commenting on their profiles, figuring out what they wanted, and inviting them personally. People are selfish. They want to know that you're talking to them and that you're solving a problem for them. If you sent 10 DMs a day, personal DMs, hey, Tyler, I heard Umama told me about you and told me you were interested in a men's group and that you were really interested in fitness and entrepreneurship. I'm actually hosting this big event or I'm hosting this kind of get together of all these like badass dudes here at this coffee shop. I think you'd really love it and meet some awesome connections. So let me know if you want to drop in. Here's a link to some info. Let me Just text me if you have questions. Super personal. You have a connection aspect to it. You give them a call to action, and you're solving a problem.
Well, here's what I want to ask you now, because that's great. And what I just did, mm-hmm. like what we talked about, which I will now talk about on here.
Yes.
That's because it's like, okay, does that call to me in a super fuck yeah way? Yes. And not but. What I just did cost me way more, which is go to a really cool event, yes. get paid to talk about it and write about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see this really cool event put on by Jesse Itzler called Everesting, where you go up a mountain 17 times. Mm-hmm. And I go, hey, would you like to contact them on my behalf? We'll write the article. And I know, basically pay me to go do this event. And guess what? I got a yes.
Hell
right?
Yeah.
I got a yes out of it. Right? Mm-hmm. So I want 10 more of those. See what I'm saying? So that's what I want to do.
How many opportunities are you reaching out to?
So that's what I want to commit to with you. I want to do a little real-time action here and make that commitment, because I know that people say like, oh, like I know the power of 10 DMs a day, because guess what happens in 10 days? You've just contacted 100 people, right?
Exactly. And do it via video besides a cold call. And basically, Instagram's turned into people's personal phone numbers now.
Right. People just...
Literally, someone video called me the other day, and it was like coming in as a real call. I was like, what the hell?
Well, it's funny, because I was talking to a comedian who will remain nameless, who, when he was like, I saw him like getting the Instagram of this girl, and I was like, oh, and so like you do that because you don't even have to ask for a number. He's like, yep. And everybody gives it up.
I'm 100% behind the sliding in the DM strategy. All my clients.
Is that going to be the name of your first book, Slide to My DM, Bro?
I really should be. I was thinking The Sassy Woman. I'm working on a book deal, but that's... No.
Well, if you need
Actually, I'm saying it, so it's probably not going to happen.
I have written a book, by the way, so if you want some...
Okay, give me your pointers. Did you get a ghostwriter, or did you actually write?
Well,
I hate writing.
I almost said, of course I wrote it. But the very first thing I did, so I started becoming the obstacle guy.
Yeah.
Year, 2 years into it, these people contact me and they say, hey, we do a lot of these how-to fitness books. Mm-hmm. Would you write it? And I said, actually, like, I like covering the sport, but I'm not like, I'm not Joe Fitness Guy. Yeah. I said, what I would do, the book I would want to read is, why don't we have this guy tell us how to do the ninja obstacles? Why don't we have this person tell us how to build core strength? Why don't we have this person tell us what the diet is? So they go, great, let's do that. So I totally outsourced half my book, which, looking back, is kind of genius. I didn't mean it to be that genius, but it got me out of half the work.
Well, that's a lot of these authors now just get reviews from other people. Once again, that collaboration aspect, and it fills their book. They just ask them interview questions.
But you realize that the book is not the money maker.
No, no,
it's a resume builder.
It's a resume builder, and it's people feel like it's a legitimate seat.
And if I knew what I knew now, I would have actually put more into it, because now it's 3 years old and it's out of date and whatever. But because you can make, you know, what they call back of the room money on it. So if you talk somewhere, everybody buys it for $20 and you've bought it from your distributor for $10. But books are heavy. They're not fun to deal with. But if I had to do it over again, I would have done like the hardcore Gary Vee push for it.
It's got to be a value add, like event marketing strategy behind it.
Exactly. So yeah, so I don't recommend it unless you just want to like, great, my mother went to the bookstore and bought it, she can die happy. Like that was kind of it for me. That's the first thing I said to them.
You invest in it?
No. I was paid for it. Right. Okay. And we'll talk offline about how I made that happen.
Yeah.
But this is great. We're going to wrap it up with the Atlanta favorites quiz. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh, I think.
And first of all, thank you, by the way. I got way more out of this than probably many of my listeners. But if you got value from this, drop me a DM. Tell me what you liked about it. Tell me what you...
He will send you a video message back.
I will absolutely send you a video message back. You're like, this is going to become the thing, because I know I can... Anyhow.
That's going to be the differentiator in social media now. Video and voice.
And you're the first fucking person to do it. Like it's so obvious, and like it is going to become a thing, right? Like whatchamacallit, like Gary says, marketers ruin everything, and eventually it'll become, you know, whatever. So, what is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Ooh, the all-star breakfast.
Okay, very common answer, the all-star breakfast.
Of course, but with lots of hot sauce and ketchup mixed together on the hash browns.
Love it. What is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta these days?
Ooh, these days, I've been going to Gusto way too much. Shout out to you, Nate, and the team.
Okay.
I do love them.
Okay. Rank these in importance to you. Are you ready? Falcons, Hawks, Braves, United.
Falcons, United, Braves, and then the Hawks.
Okay. If you complete this sentence, I take Marta blank.
To the airport. That's it.
Also a very common answer. Okay. Do you take a shower every morning or every night?
I can't say every anything.
Okay.
I use good wipes every day.
Use good wipes. Another Atlanta shout out.
Yes. I'm all about connecting you guys with Atlanta based brands.
Dude, he was on the show. He was great.
So awesome. Freaking love Charlie and all that.
So I know Sam. Sam's who I interviewed. Charlie was not available.
Okay.
I've not
Sam's
aired.
Badass
I've
too.
Not.
And Maria.
I've oh not God. Aired his Shut episode up. Yet, but I will. What is the best concert you've ever seen in Atlanta? Where was it and who was it?
You guys are going to make fun of me. I love Taylor Swift. I'm actually going to her on Friday.
There's nothing wrong with okay. the T-Swizzle.
She is amazing. I'm actually going to her concert Friday night, too. She just has, I've been an OG follower since like my middle school, high school days. She has amazing stage presence, like truly enthusiastic, interactive with her fans, her costumes, her music. I love her.
Okay.
What? I can't even remember. I really don't go to many concerts.
It's okay. What's the best festival in Atlanta?
Oh, festival. Grilled Cheese Festival was badass.
Okay.
Oh, you want more?
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the last question is, who should I have next in the Atlanta podcast?
Who should you have next? I want you to have someone in tech. So.
And I have not had a lot of tech people. I had one early on. I had a woman who like makes VR and shit, but I haven't had somebody in a long time.
That's badass.
Yeah.
I'm blinking, but okay. Stephanie Jewett from Actively would be amazing. Have okay. you met her yet?
No.
She's just such a badass woman. She was a former CNN producer, and she's created a fitness app that helps. It's Tinder for fitness, platonic fitness friends. So it's
who wants that? That doesn't sound like fun to me.
The best because it's she truly has like an event model too. So just connecting people, and it's amazing the people that have come out to that event and their lives have changed. Okay. Now this application is going to change the way people actually meet friends. Because there's an app for sex, for dating, for basically anything now, but not for someone you just want to go to the gym with.
Okay.
So, and she's a local Atlanta all right. boss babe.
Look, asking you about IGTV, and everyone is like clamoring and going nuts. And mm-hmm. my feeling is like, okay, and we felt the same way about Instagram stories when they first came up, when Snapchat first came up. Like, mm-hmm. so how do we know this is going to be this greatest living thing?
Think
or it's going to go away like everything
else. It's just what Instagram is doing is conditioning a new behavior. And it's vertical video, shooting in vertical, which is the new behavior we have to get people in the mindset of. But think about it. Most people are watching everything on a phone nowadays anyways. So it is the future of how we're going to use technology and use video going forward. So the people that jump onto IGTV right now are going to be those big influencers that we see 2-3 years from now that we're all buying $9,000 programs from. Figuring out how to use IGTV. But all it is they jumped in at the beginning when no one was watching. That's why I always say the first people to get into any platform, all they're going to do is find their voice and find their audience. And then everyone else is going to start sharing that. And then they're going to be the faces of IGTV. So why not try to be that person?
But what if I don't want to try to be that person?
Okay, well then you stick to Instagram stories and just fall in the weed of everyone else just now jumping into that. I just think right now everything from Instagram stories is just feeding over to IGTV. So it's a great way to streamline that traffic you've already built up in your Instagram network, but now it's your call to action is go click on IGTV.
So you are doing it or you're not doing it?
Oh, I'm 100% about to go full force in it. Okay. So I just started like last week.
And you think I should as well for all my brands?
100%. Especially since you're just now launching like, or, you know, ATL Atlanta podcast is really starting to make strides now. Like add some more leverage to it, right? And if it has more legs on Instagram, then you add more value than everyone else.
Okay.
That's it.
I know. It's hard for me not to go like, ugh, it's more work.
I know. But you've got to just think about, like, what value are you offering? That's going to be the thing about IGTV, is figuring out what works on there, but what works on there for your brand. Maybe for you, it'll be like a 3-minute short, you know, that quiz part we just did. Maybe you just have a collection of those quizzes and you're asking Atlanta based questions, and then everyone knows to hop onto your IGTV for Atlanta specific questions.
I see why people pay you to do stuff. You're a good thinker.
I'm kind of good at this.
Right?
People pay me for this. But it's because, like, I really want people to understand the value aspect of everything. You can't just get on these platforms nowadays and post a pretty picture. I really feel like that's on the decline soon with influencer marketing and all that. You've got to have true KPIs, and you've got to have true value to connect and retain.
Tell my
audience.
Listener what KPI is that don't know, that aren't in that world.
It's a key performance indicators. So just things like, what type of comments are you getting that are relative to the brand or to the tone, and then tracking conversions based on that.
All
and
right.
So that's all the stuff I teach, and that's why I really, really think everyone should go into IGTV.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks, dude.
Cheers.
There we go. There was Umama. Now, it's been a good 6-7 months since that last little topic there, IGTV. I wonder if she still feels the same way. I will let you know. I'm going to run into her at some point and we'll talk about it. Maybe I'll bring her back on the show. I haven't been so hot on it. I haven't put a lot of input into it. Sorry, time into it. Maybe she has, maybe she hasn't. I'd like to see if she's still bullish on that IGTV. Ladies and gentlemen, we put new episodes out every bloody Wednesday. I know today's Thursday. Don't get me started. Every Wednesday, you're going to hear a new episode from the ATL podcast, Atlanta podcast in 2019. Do me a favor. Leave me an interview. Or leave me a review. Leave me a review on the iTunes. Would really appreciate it. Also, check out morning.gratitude on Instagram. Do you like to start your day with some gratitude? I do. That's why I started the morning gratitude over on Instagram. Morning.gratitude. It is a very simple exercise of starting with 10 things per day that you are grateful for. PM me with any questions. PM me with any guest suggestions that you think. I always ask my guests, who do you think should be next on the podcast? You tell me. Who should be next on the podcast? Thanks so much for tuning in. It's 2019, off and running. Gotta run.